which week and which month of the year, because he's been all around the globe, and him and Dave just got back from France a week and a half ago, and he serves the Lord with Missionary Service Committee and helps out with the teams there, and so we certainly welcome him to our platform this morning. He's from Northeast Bay Road, so you can ask him after where that is. Garrett, welcome.
Northeast Bay Road is where the local yokels hang out, I think. The privilege has always been in serving the Lord. I've had the opportunity, as most of you know, to be out on the mission field on various occasions, both to Caribbean, to Africa, to Arkansas, to Alaska, to, in the last 13 or 14 years now with MSC. Some of you have been on those trips. And the last one, as Ross said, was to France, Entrepierre, with we met Dudley and Jill, and Dudley actually picked us up at the airport. And I don't know if I'd want to repeat that trip too much, but they drive the French way, if you know how that is. But we had a wonderful time with Dave and Judy Wassel. Dave and Judy are returning home to Canada on June the 9th through to medical reasons. They are purchased a home in Cambridge, in the Galt aspect of Cambridge. And Entrepierre is looking for a couple to replace them, so be in prayer over that. And Dave, I got to admit, I don't know where you are, but I appreciated working with you those 2 weeks. We seemed to know what each other was up to, and we seemed to get a lot accomplished. The others, we were all working. And the last project for Entrepierre, in that sense, the accommodations that we were working on had never been done. And so we actually put up a ceiling on some steel studding. Nothing was square. Nothing was level. And that in itself is a challenge, because the village itself is well over 1,000 years old, and it's all made of stone. But they are upgrading those facilities for missionaries, French-speaking missionaries from Europe and the Mediterranean area in Africa. So it is a very needed place. And so we had the opportunity and privilege to go there. With your permission, I'd like to ask Miranda to come to the piano, and I'd like to share a song with you. It does have some bearing on the message today. And my father, who is in Coburg, he's still living, he's 93, he has oil painted many pictures. In fact, on his 93rd birthday, which was in January, the family got as many of those pictures or photos and took pictures of them and put them in a little album, and there was quite a number of them. Miranda had the privilege of sitting under his tutelage, and so she has been able to do some of that as well. But this song, I'm going to read you the first line. It says, "Life started out like a canvas." And so it means a lot to me, but if our lives are like a canvas, listen to the words. Life started out like a canvas, and God started painting on me. But I took the paintbrush from Jesus and painted what I wished to see. The colors I painted kept running, and the objects were all out of size. I had made such a mess of my painting. My way now seemed so unwise. So I brought my painting to Jesus. All the colors, the pieces so wrong. In the markets of earth it was worthless, but his blood made my painting belong. Well, he worked with no condemnation. He never mentioned the mess I had made. Then he dipped the brush in a rainbow, and he signed it, "The price has been paid." When I gave the paintbrush to Jesus, when I gave the brush back to him, then he started all over life's canvas to fill. When I gave to Jesus the brush of my will. You know, you've heard everything before. There's nothing new under the sun. But I want to tell you, my grandfather, my opa from Holland, was decorated for his efforts during the war. He was a head of the resistance in the little town of Alten on the east of Holland. He saved many lives by hiding them, Jewish people, Dutch men. My father was one of them. And when my father came to, not then my opa, my grandfather's house, the first person he met was a young lady scrubbing the floor in the hallway, which turned out to be my mother. In 1960, my grandfather, my opa, came to Canada for the first time. And he came subsequently after that for a couple more times. But there's one thing that I remember him saying. Whenever he would come from a trip from one of his other sons or daughters, he would sit down in the chair and he would say, So I'm settled. Or when he was going to get into the car, he would say, "So, where are we going to go?" You know, I didn't realize that until not long ago that I began to think about some of these things, and my mother had the same. She must have picked it up from her father. Because oft times she would, when we come home from school, she would say, "So, how did it go today?" Or she would get a phone call, maybe from one of her relatives in Holland, and the phone would hang up, and she would say, "So," and she would tell us a story. On many occasions, I heard that little word, "So." And usually it always preceded something of great importance in our lives. And so I got thinking, how does the scripture relate to this little word, "so"? Well, hopefully this morning we'll share a little bit of that. You know, I couldn't help but think of our travels to France. And, you know, if you've been through the airport, you will hear this little ding-dong or whatever, and you know that there's going to be an announcement. Or the pilot will come in the intercom. But, you know, we were waiting in Paris, and the information would come on, and somebody would be paged. Or I just want to give you a bit of an example. You know, you hear the announcement and say, "Attention, boarding will begin at gate 7 on flight 7777 to heaven with stop at Calvary." The announcement go off. Then another announcement a little later, you know, the boarding time is closer, and "Attention, would passengers Reader and Strong please report to gate number 7? They want somebody's attention to get on board that flight. Is God bringing something to our attention this morning? Does he want us on that flight? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we of ourselves are of nothing, but without Christ we can do absolutely nothing. but with Christ we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Father, this morning, would you reveal yourself to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the first mention of sow in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I'll be referring to quite a few scriptures this morning. You may or may not look them up. I'm going to probably cover them rather quickly in some sense. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's really important. Especially in our day and age where people have no thought. It's all because of evolution. This glob or blob or this gaseous belch that started back in millions of years ago. Have no thought of what the scriptures even say. So God created. And that makes us of value, doesn't it? It makes you of value, makes me of value. Every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter to the person walking down the sidewalk on the street, he is of value to God. So God created. And then I thought about another part of the so great, and that is so great. Psalm 77, verse 13, it says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Well, that's the way that we can express as humans, because God created. Who is so great a God? There was nothing that existed before him, nor afterwards. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. We are of nothing compared to that, and yet we have great value because God created us. Psalm 103, verse 11 says, "For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." That's another so great. Are you glad this morning that God's mercy is so great? So great. What did it do for you? Well, we'll come to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Did you get that? So great a death we've been delivered from. We trust that we will yet, that he will yet deliver us. We've been delivered from spiritual death, haven't we? We're not delivered from physical death, but we are delivered from eternal death, apart from God, apart from the Savior. But only if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So great a God, so great is his mercy, so great a death that we've been delivered from. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" So great salvation. You know, I was lying in bed the other day and I was asking the Lord for, "Lord, would you just help me see that a little more clearly?" And as I was laying there, John 3:16 came to me. Let me show you. Salvation. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's salvation. But what is great salvation? "He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But what is so great salvation? "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life." God is so great. God is so great. You know, and I got thinking some more. What about the word "so much"? So much. Well, in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "But so much more the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and he healed and be healed by them of their infirmities." So much the more went his fame abroad. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a world figure. oh, he was despised and rejected. You know, and he was, when you would see him on the street, I'm sure the Bible says that he was, there was nothing that you would behold that he would be a standout among anything. But his fame went abroad because he was a son of God and because of his love for mankind. And he healed those who had infirmities. You know, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does God heal today? Yes, he does. He heals a broken sinner. But he chooses. And I know that in some of these third world countries and in some of these other countries, that God is delivering people from their physical infirmities, but he's also delivering their souls out of death, eternal death. And oftentimes he will use that to deliver mankind and bring them to himself. How about Acts 19, verse 2? And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Not so much as heard. Is the world hearing? You know, Jesus said, you're to go out into Jerusalem, Judea, and the othermost parts of the earth. Are we doing our bit so that they will hear? And they being those around us who need the Savior? Oh, sometimes it's intimidating. Sometimes it's challenging. And I say, Lord, help me to do that too. Because I'm not unlike you. And there's times when you are fearful. And there are times when we need to be bold. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And do we choose that name of Christ? Do we choose that name of Christ so that others will hear? So that they cannot say, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Or we have not heard that there is one called Jesus. What about Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4? Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We're looking at that little word, so. What does it mean? Usually there's something important associated with it, and I trust that we will see that as we go along more so. So much better than the angels. Of course, the angels were created, but Jesus was the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So much better. Being made so much better. He had to be, because he became the sacrifice at Calvary, the perfect sacrifice of Calvary that absorbed God's wrath upon himself. That was meant for you and I. Children of wrath, children of mercy. We are children of mercy in knowing him. A more excellent name than these. There is no other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved. He has given him the name which is above. It's not a name. Do you know that the world might... You know, if we just move that participle, just from the to a, I believe, you know, Jesus is a name, but he is the name. What if it was a name? I think we would get along with all kinds of religions today, wouldn't we? But that's not what the scripture says. It just doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. He is the name, a more excellent name. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 or 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. A surety, a guarantee of a better testament. You know, the first mention in the Bible of surety is with Judah, when Joseph had been taken prisoner or sold and taken prisoner to Egypt. He was now second in command in the land. There was a famine in Israel, and Joseph's brothers were going to Egypt. And Joseph knew that his younger brother, Benjamin, was still back at home with his father. And Judah was the one that said, if I do not bring Benjamin back, I will be a surety for him. And if I do not bring him back, the shame of it will be upon me forever. And that was mentioned twice, in Genesis 43, verse 8 and 9, and in Genesis 44, verse 32. But Jesus So much more was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Can you think of any better guarantee of getting to heaven than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you can, please let me know. Well, there's others that think there's different ways to glory, to heaven. But oh, be careful. Be careful. There is only one name. And he is the only guarantee because he shed his life's blood on the cross of Calvary. You've heard this all before, but let's appreciate it more. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day? Well, we were just talking about it at coffee time. The day of the Lord's return. And we need to keep assembling together under the name of the Lamb of God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I've been through to a lot of different assemblies and churches and things, and it saddens me when people leave an assembly or a church and they go home and they don't go anywhere. They say, well, I watch so-and-so on TV, but they never assemble themselves or get together with believers of like precious faith. But it says that we must so much the more, exhorting one another to getting together as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Maybe that's another question we should ask. Do you see the day approaching that the Lord's return is imminent, is closer than it was before? You know, my father was born back in the 20s. He had no idea that Israel would become a nation in 1948, but it happened. And I read an article recently that said that America was in decay and not just in decline. Where are we today in this land? Oh, that God would raise up a younger generation to serve him that would, you know, do a lot of damage to Satan's kingdom. Are you praying for that for your grandchildren? So much the more as you see the day approaching, exhorting them in the name of the Lord. Exhorting them. How about this one? Not only is there so God created, or so great salvation, or so great a God of mercy, or so much the more, but how about so far? So far. That's another so in the Bible. And what does it have to say? Well, you can probably already think of one. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, we just came back from France. We flew at about 500 and some miles an hour over the Atlantic Ocean for about 8 hours. That's quite a ways, isn't it? But the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. Can you point east and not and point a definite spot and say that's where east stops and go to the west the same way? No. You see, when Christ took God's wrath upon himself to forgive us of our sins, God doesn't even remember our sins anymore. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's only a human way of explaining something that is an eternal truth. Do you appreciate that? Psalm 22, verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Well, that's a prophetic word, of course, for Christ's words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God was so far from Christ when he died on that cross. He turned his back. He couldn't even look upon sin. But yet we read in John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. I've heard it all before. But how is it affecting us today? Oh, that our love would grow for him. Here's another one. So likewise, Matthew chapter 8, verse 35, so likewise shall my Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Ouch. If you don't forgive someone, if I don't forgive someone their trespasses, my Heavenly Father will not forgive me mine. Oh yeah, he's forgiven me on Calvary. But isn't it the brotherly love that Christ wants for us today? Oh, I know. Sometimes I'm not very lovable. Maybe you're not either. It doesn't matter, does it? Because Christ loved us, he loved the church. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you do, from your heart shall not forgive everyone his brother of their trespasses. I remember a number of years ago that I happened to be speaking on this subject, and afterwards a man came up to me and he said, Garrett, he says, I wish you hadn't have spoken that. He said, it's been 10 years since I spoke to my brother. But he says, now I know what I have to do. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit convicting him. That's sad. Another lady came up to me and he said, I think the Lord had something for me. Forgiving one another. Oh, I know. We have baggage. We have... There's some things we'd rather not remember. But we have the opportunity while we are still in the flesh to do these things. So likewise, Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. The Bible says, be not ignorant of the times or the seasons. Are we? Are we? Is the Son of Man closer than he was yesterday? Of course he is. We don't know the day or the hour, but we certainly know the times and the seasons are drawing near. I'm sure that the people that went through the Second World War would probably think that. Maybe some of these people who were under persecution in some of these lands in the Middle East that are losing their lives for Christ might think so. But you and I, we know so. Are you looking forward to that day? I trust you are. Here's another one. Luke 14, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Do we forsake all for the cross of Christ? Well, we have to eat, we have to live, we know those things, but who loves the Lord is in enmity with the world, isn't he? When our brother shared this morning about the pastor who said that they don't believe that Jesus Christ ever lived, how can the word pastor and that be associated one with the other? But that's the way our society is going. Whoever does not forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Are we sold out for Jesus Christ? How about Luke 21, verse 31? So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. You know, don't you hear that announcement beep coming on? So, what's going to follow? So, what is of importance that comes along? The kingdom of God is nigh. The kingdom of God is nigh. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is nigh. Oh, he's building his church. He's building his church. Piece by piece, isn't he? Piece by piece. What a great God is he. So what about the Father? What about the Father? Or God the Father? There is a number of references that, again, the word so comes into play. Let me suggest a few. Psalm 48, verse 10. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. The little word so introduces quite a few topics, doesn't it? So is thy praise. It fills the earth because his right hand is full of righteousness. God who is immense, God who is one who has every right to punish us, but in it's his nature to preserve us because we are created in his image. I don't understand all of that. But I tell you one thing, I'm glad there's a truth in that. So God is his praise. according to his name. Here's another one, Psalm 77, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Who is so great a God as our God? No one. No one. Do we say it, but do we believe it? Are we willing to sacrifice all? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Psalm 90, verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy wrath? And God will deal with men who have rejected him, neglected him, turned their back upon him. His wrath will be fierce. I can't imagine a lost eternity. But I tell you one thing. We were once children of wrath, but are now children of his mercy and become sons of God. If those truths would just begin to permeate in a greater way into each of our lives. What about Psalm 102, verse 15? So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. There's going to come a day. The heathen will fear the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. Remember that verse in Proverbs says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as a river of water, he directs it whithersoever he will. God is still in control. We need to pray for our national leaders, provincial leaders, because God is still doing a work. We're still in the day of grace. Psalm 103, verse 11, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Self-explanatory. Psalm 103, verse 13, just a couple of verses over. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you fear him today? It's not necessarily a fear of being frightened, but a fear of reverence for a God who created you and me in his image and breathed the breath of life in you and me. You're bought with a price. We are not our own. Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How many people will stand and shake their fist at God and blame it on him? It happens all too frequently. But I tell you one thing, they think they're going to get away with it. But his ways are so much higher. Have you lost a loved one? It hurts. Have you lost a child? It hurts. I know. Have you seen a son or a daughter go wayward? It hurts. But God's ways are higher than your ways and my ways. His love will still reach out. If there's still life, there's still hope. I was in France, and one particular gentleman was sharing about the heartaches he had with some of his grandchildren. But again, where there's life, there's hope. Remember what Churchill said? Sure you do. Never, never, never give up. Don't give up on those who of your loved ones who are walking aside of Christ. Pray for them. Love them into the kingdom as God gives you the opportunity. We are indeed blessed if we know the Lord and we have family members who know the Lord. I've got unsaved relatives. I know you do too. Never, never, never give up. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Did I hear you right? Do you believe that God's word will not return unto him void? We should. You know, people won't listen to what we have to say necessarily. Oh, they might, but it's the word of God that will never return unto him void. It might. See, the Holy Spirit can use those things and convict men of their sin before the Lord. Oh, that God would give us the courage to do so. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth it shall die." You know, I was just taking this little word "so," and all these verses kept popping up. There's of some value. They're important. You hear that little beep on the announcement, and then read these things. There's got to be something important if something follows that little word or precedes it. And you saw this morning that God's concern for us and for those around us is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the soul that is saved shall live. That's the other part of it, isn't it? Ezekiel 39, verse 22, "So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God, and from that day forward." Remember the time that when God chose Israel, and all of a sudden, during one of the wanderings in the desert, he was going to get rid of them, and Moses pleaded for them. And these were his chosen people. Where are you and I? We've been chosen in Christ as well to come to that point in our lives. Oh, there's more. There is much more. And time will not allow it. But again, let me read this. You can quote it. "So great salvation. So, for God so loved. Great that he gave his only begotten Son. Salvation that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That's another exhortation for you and I. Oh, don't look at me for an example, because I'm the least. I've got lots of things hanging in my closet, a hall of shame. Romans chapter 9, verse 16, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." I read that this morning. It's God who showeth mercy. What about Jesus Christ? What about those things that are about Jesus Christ that have this little word "so"? Isaiah 53 and 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." He prayed in the garden, "If it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." If he hadn't have gone to Calvary, we wouldn't be sitting here today. You and I would not be sitting here today. We would not be looking forward to glory and seeing many of our loved ones who has passed on. What about this verse? Zechariah 11, verse 12. "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed out my price, 30 pieces of silver." He was betrayed. He was rejected. He was despised. He was beaten. For what? For what? To save you and I. Simple, isn't it? But that's the simple like faith that we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Matthew 20, verse 34, "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." They weren't just healed, they followed him, didn't they? Jesus has compassion on those who are outside of the kingdom. He loves them. "For God so loved the world." What a great God, isn't he? He's no small God. He is not a small God. Not at all. Do we treat him like that? John 3:14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God, man, be lifted up. We know that. We know these verses. But I just wanted to take you back through the scriptures with this little two-letter word, so. And how much will it tell us when we look on either side of that little word? John 5:21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Jesus died for all. I believe that Jesus' blood has covered every sin that man could ever commit, from Genesis to when he comes again. It's sufficient, but he died for whom he will. Quickeneth whom he will, gives life to whom he will. And I've said this before, when you go through the door of salvation, it's written, whosoever will. And when you step through, you look back, and it is chosen in Christ. Chosen in Christ. John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, he shall live by me. So he that eateth me, what do we do this morning? We partook of the Lord's Supper. We identified with Christ. But we eat him in that sense when we recognize our guilt, our sin before us, before God. And come into fellowship with him, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, seated with him in the heavenlies. All these wonderful doctrines that place us in Christ. There are five things that Christ mentions. So I speak. John 12:50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father sent unto me, so I speak. Jesus said, so I am, in John 13:13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He didn't deny his deity, did he? John 14:31 says, so I do. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. John 17:18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. John 20:21, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Jesus said, so I speak, so I am, so I do, so I have loved you, so have I sent you, so I send you. Oh, time won't permit this subject, but I trust that what we've just shared this morning will cause your hearts to just turn a little bit more in gratefulness and thankfulness to God who gave his Son. Yes, you've heard it before. But I tell you, do we tire of the God who has saved us? Do we tire of him? I trust not. Let's pray. Father, you are so great a God. And you had so great a love and so great a mercy that you sent your Son, whose name was so much more and excellent, and the blood which was so precious. And you held us so dear. Father, thank you. That's all we can say. Thank you. Father, we pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. And Father, that you would impart to us greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.